We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show.
President's Day.
On this President's Day, I am not Angelo Cataldi, obviously. John Johnson filling in. Under the circumstances, I'm happy to be with you. Unfortunately, Angelo is not today.
Oh, no.
Al Morgani. Unfortunately, his wife, Gail, fractured her foot, a bone in her foot. I believe it might be a Jones fracture that we've experienced a lot of in this town.
I've never seen anybody.
She'll be out the year.
She'll be, well, if she plays for the Sixers, she's on bed rest for about 6 months. Yeah. And then she'll, you know, come back too early and maybe, you know, refracture it. So unfortunately, you know, I'm happy to be with you, you know, considering the circumstances. But we have a lot we're going to get into today, Al. We had a very interesting weekend.
Very weird weekend.
Yes. Of course, Al's here. Rhea is here. Mitch Williams will be here right around the 7 o'clock hour. Kyle Quinn filling in for Joe Wechter. Don't worry, Dan Donnelly's here. Ava Graham is off today. We do have a lot we're going to get into. And something very important took place over the weekend, Al Morgani, which will, I think, tell every Philadelphia sports fan the real story of what's going on with certain athletes in this town. There was a lot that, you know, for there being so little game action. I know the Flyers played.
Yes.
But other than that, you know, the NBA is at the All-Star break. Major League Baseball is now really ramping up as full squad workouts for most teams get underway today.
And isn't that going well?
It's going swimmingly. And I can't wait till the 7 o'clock hour and we talk to Mitch Williams about what Rob Manfred had to say. Boy, talk about open mouth, insert foot. I didn't have an opinion on Rob Manfred, and you know, now I kind of do. Well, anyway, the two big stories that are important to us that happened over the weekend. Everyone is now present and accounted for at Philly Spring Training. As I said, full squad workouts began this morning. The other story was the NBA All-Star Game and how something very important took place during each of those, both Philly Spring Training and the All-Star Game over the weekend, which is going to tell us, I think, everything we need to know about the state of the 76ers and the state of the Philadelphia Phillies. By the way, Rhea Hughes is here this morning. Yes. Rhea, we discussed briefly about last night's NBA All-Star Game and how it practically started. Well, you know, I think it just started. and how it took, you know, they say 8 o'clock. When really they meant quarter to nine.
Yeah, I was watching something. I'm binging a show on Netflix. So I saw, oh, it's 8 o'clock, switched over. And 10 minutes in, I went back to the show on Netflix. I said, I'll get back to this when they start. It was unbelievable. 40 minutes later.
It started, and Al has no problem with it because Al doesn't sleep. Al, you know.
I liked it.
Al has that, like, Da Vinci
method
where he takes 15-minute naps.
I found it entertaining, the whole thing.
It was entertaining at the end. The problem was you had to sit through.
The ending was fantastic.
The pregame stuff I thought was good, too.
Eh.
Well, you don't want to know, there's a little tidbit that it's going to be very integral to today's show as well. Of course, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons played in the All-Star Game, one for Team Giannis, one for Team LeBron. They both had good games. Joel Embiid in the, you know, I think it was 22 points, 10 rebounds. I'm not sure his exact stat line. That's irrelevant. He didn't win MVP of the game, which is just fine. But he played 29 minutes in said game.
A lot in that fourth quarter.
By the way, he only played 28 minutes against the Clippers in the final game before the All-Star break.
Can't wait till he's too tired to play on Thursday.
That'll be very interesting if that becomes. And he didn't wear a brace either.
That was good.
Which he had tape on his hand. But he did not wear a brace, so it's something to monitor leading into it. Anyway, the big story that was leading into this All-Star game, All-Star break, I should say, concerning the Sixers, of course, which was talked about all week long about Joel Embiid, about the criticism he's received for shushing the crowd and, you know, followed by the Instagram post with Jimmy Butler. This, of course, questioned his maturity and, and in turn, surprisingly divided the fan base. There are those who are just furious at him for his lack of professional maturity and, you know, think he deserved to be booed for the performance that he was putting on. And there are those who have taken the other side and said, no, leave him alone. You know, everybody, if you're going to boo him, you should be able to take it as well. You know, we should be thankful we have Joel Embiid, as opposed to, you know, obviously booing him and in some cases going to extremes and saying we should trade him and move on. Leo, leave him alone. Well, as part of All-Star festivities, it's much like, it's almost like the Super Bowl, Al, where you have a media session.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, 20 minutes or so, and you get asked every question under the sun. Some are very relevant, but they range from, you know, what do you think the Sixers' chances are in the second half, to what's your favorite color? I mean, it's just ridiculous questions mixed in between. Well, somewhere in there, all this was rehashed about the criticism he has received. And he's asked, you know, how he feels about it moving forward. And this is what he said.
The whole season, I've been quiet. Before, I was on social media acting crazy, and people say that it was immature, and I stopped. And people now, everybody says that, you know, I don't have passion for the game. I don't care about the game. So it's a lose-lose situation. So I just got to be myself. And if it rubs people the wrong way, so what? I just got to be myself, and I think he's going to help me a lot.
Al, you can't satisfy everyone. I got to be me. Do what I want to do. Take it or leave it. You like that approach? Is that a good approach for Joel Embiid?
If he was consistent with it, yeah.
Yeah, how many versions of I've got to be myself have we heard? This is going in as many Allen Iverson retirement nights that we've had.
Man. And that's just this season.
We're just expecting you to be, you know, you can't not be you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think we can agree.
Who was complaining he wasn't on social media?
I think we can all agree that he reads too much into social media, and it certainly affects him to no end that he's trying to satisfy everybody, which he can't do. But considering what he has been through, is it kind of smart for him to say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do, take it or leave it? I'm just going to be me. Take it or leave it. Is that a good stance to have if you're Joel?
If you play well enough, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to.
There's a reason I asked this question beyond just nitpicking on Embiid.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward from Saturday afternoon to Sunday morning. Position players, those who haven't already arrived to Spectrum Field, are now arriving.
Okay.
You know, they check in for their physicals, you know, get sized up for equipment. And then they do a media session.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Harper is one of the first position players who hadn't already been there to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And if we backtrack to last year, we remember the huge buildup and fanfare. Are they going to sign him? Aren't they going to sign him? And when they did, how the city exploded. And it was a great time. We were down there in Clearwater for it. It mm-hmm. was amazing. Well, you know, although he came here in many eyes as the savior, you know, he was subject to criticism last year at times. I remember there was a stretch where he was in a horrible slump. And I remember specifically covering two games where he was booed for, you know, in the middle of this slump.
Yeah.
So he received, as much as he's a star, a superstar, much like Embiid, he received criticism in his first year here, let alone his fourth year. And that can rub a player the wrong way, just like it did with Joel. It affects your psyche, justifiable or not. And keep in mind what Joel said on Saturday. Harper was asked to reflect on his first season in Philly, the ups, the downs, the crowd, you know, his play. This is what he said.
I feel like I was able to just be Bryce. I was able to go out there and just be myself and play. It's funny, when I went into the offseason, all my buddies were, how'd you like feeling? I was like, dude, I loved it. Like, it was unbelievable. So I think people might look at me and go, yeah, right, you're crazy. But no, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fans. I enjoyed the people. You know, that blue-collar feel, that blue-collar mentality. They want you to work hard. They hold you accountable. And that made me a better player. You know, it made me want to work hard in the outfield. It made me want to work hard as a hitter. It made me want to play every single day.
Made me want to work. Well, let me pause for a moment. Al, is there any box he didn't check right there of all the things that you want to hear someone say?
No, he said he could. He was comfortable.
He said everything.
Yeah.
He said much like Embiid did. Be myself and play.
Be myself.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be anybody else.
Yeah, but he said, it made me want to work harder. It made me want, as opposed to, he didn't say it made me want to tell them to shut the hell up. It didn't make me want to say, you know, you guys don't appreciate me. It made him, he said, there is nothing he said that I can argue. I mean, he said everything you want your superstar, whether he meant it or not. Hmm. It doesn't matter. The optics of what he said were 100% spot on. He is a public relations dream.
Yes.
For everything you want your superstar to say. And, I mean, I got to be honest. I'm sure those who have heard it for the first time, and Al, I imagine you probably haven't heard that exact quote from Harper just yet. This is the first time you've heard it. You know, this spring, as he just said it yesterday morning. I mean, I hate saying it, but it makes me feel a certain way about Harper and another way about Embiid, because now I compare the two. Am I justified in doing so?
Yeah, they're both stars in the city, but they're so far apart in terms of their personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, I mean, Embiid was a lot of... I gotta say, the Harper's been a lot of fun with the Fanatic. He does have fun.
He's got a playful side that I didn't see. That's Otherwise, you don't hear anything.
Sure, but Joel has a playful side.
That's what I mean. They both have that. They both have some showmanship in them.
Yeah,
that really helps.
All comes in virtue what you want in a superstar.
Yeah.
Having said that, the contrast in what the two have said, it makes you people love Harper even more, and those who are kind of, you know, as much as they support Embiid are really frustrated, it makes them even more upset because you hear the two comparisons and, you know, your feelings about them, right?
Yeah, you want to, well, I mean, Embiid has become a polarizing figure, which I never thought he
would
be.
Yeah. Right, he was beloved. He was universally loved here.
I never thought he'd be. I thought there was a chance that Harper would be, but it turns the other way.
It turns the other way. And, you know, the reason I bring this up this morning, and, you know, those were two, you know, very important moments that happened over the weekend, one leading into a massive Philly season where there was a lot of change and expectations to go along with it, and one where there's a Sixer season with a ton of expectations that they have fell short to this point, and their most important player is kind of, well, you know, take it or leave it, I'm going to do my thing, and you better support me because I don't appreciate the boos. And this goes right along with, there has been a huge shift in how fans feel about their athletes, you know, both on and off the court or field. And some of it has to do with the age of the fan. And I'm sure you've noticed it, Alan Rhea, how, you know, as I mentioned with Embiid, there are many people who are saying, would you leave him alone? Why is it a big deal if he tells the crowd to shush? We should be supporting him. We should be giving him our unconditional support. And if he doesn't play to par, let him go. Because we know we can't win without him. And it kind of leads into a question. We have a whole lot we're going to get into today. And it's a question that I'd love feedback on because we have our opinions and I'd love to play off others. Should we be expecting more of certain athletes like Embiid, like Harper, and their personalities? Or... what I should say, be more accepting, not expecting, accepting of their personalities. This is what they are. Take them or leave them. You better damn well support them because you know how important they are to their team. Or are we completely justified in criticizing them when they aren't acting professionally or living up to the standard we expect them to when they're playing in their particular game as we see it? Al, I mean, I'm you have a very abstract way of thinking, which is why
abstract.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Al, what do you think Rhea would consider your way of thinking?
Ass-track.
Yes. That now we're talking.
So Al, as we sit here in the year 2020, and you're seeing, you're big on social media, you see the shift in the way a lot of fans think.
Yeah.
Should we be more accepting of players how they are and kind of, you know, just deal with it? Or are we completely justified in criticizing them when players, superstars such as these two, don't live up to that standard?
I think if they don't look like they're trying,
that's the problem.
The problem with Embiid is if he said all this stuff and was playing every game and playing hard every game,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there'd be as much pushback. I think ultimately. Unless it's a horrendous thing, like a law outside the law type of thing,
Well, that's completely different.
But if it's just what you say, stupid stuff like he says, like Iverson could say, as long as it looks like you're leaving it all. Like Embiid's problem is not playing every game, you know, load management, pointing at his finger when he's hurt. That creates like much more, the noise around him becomes like he's not worth it. He's not worth putting up. He's not good enough.
Because then you project other things and say, this isn't going to be corrected down the road.
Exactly.
See, and that's why I'm very curious feedback, because there are many people who have just, you know, I cover the Sixers. I've been getting destroyed by people saying, why are you bothering him like this? Why is this such a big deal? Let him be. We know how important he is. Let him be in the right state of mind mentally. Why make him question himself? Which is why I asked this question. And then you have Harper who, you know, when you hear that, and then and this is someone who dealt with similar criticism, not to the extent beat at, because he hasn't been here as long, took a different route when speaking about it, which is why I bring it up. So we have a ton of prizes we're going to give away today. We have an awesome topic. We're going to do it. Al, when's the last time you fell in love with something?
Huh? What do you mean? Like an app?
All right, let me.
A sandwich.
Rhea, when's the last time you fell in love with something? Obviously, we know you love your beautiful son, Clark.
Oh, I mean, humans.
We know you love. Well, I mean, it could be anything. Why? What do you? What's the first thing that popped in your head, Al?
Well, I mean,
what did you think of, like, dinner last night?
Well, some people like GPS on my phone. I mean,
I don't really think anybody's fallen in love with GPS.
Well, I mean, if you golf, it tells you the distance to the.
All right, well, keep that in mind. We're going to bring that up because we have some
like
awesome.
My new dog that I got, Judy, that
Thank
I got
you.
In
okay.
August.
There we go. Rhea loves Judy. Al, use that as a template. We'll revisit this conversation. You may need some time.
Okay.
We're not thinking of just inanimate objects here.
All right.
But we have some awesome prizes, thanks to Brian Cole here, to give away today. And we're going to have a great prize topic to go along with it. We have wonderful guest lineup. You think Billy King's going to have something to say about Joel Embiid? He has had.
Shamrock Shake. I love that.
No, you fall in love with that every spring.
February 19th.
No, you're not kidding. He does a countdown.
Wednesday.
Well, this is going to make for some very interesting conversation.
This year they put Oreo cookies in it. You can get this combined.
Thank you, Al. Thank you.
I
appreciate it. Jot this down. This is useful information.
You can collapse a lung drinking it, but it's really good.
Again, you said he had an abstract mind.
All right, we have some wonderful guests set up. We have Billy King joining us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Matt Breen, who covers the Philadelphia Phillies for the Inquirer. He's down in Clearwater right now. 9 o'clock, Mike Sielski is going to be joining us. Mike has a wonderful column on a former Philly, and of course, he's very opinionated. He finds out answers from the Phillies, Sixers, and everybody else in between. We have all these wonderful guests lined up, and then you on the lines, 888-729-9494, pound 9494. On your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone is how you get involved. It's a WIP morning show. Our time, 6:19.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.